Welcome to another episode of the highly popular Sal and Bob podcast. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me is the one and only Mr. Bob Phillips.
The highly popular Bob Phillips.
The highly popular Bob Phillips. It is the week of September 7th, 2020, and we're doing another episode here at the October Park Studios. We are not at a steakhouse. We are not at an establishment. Things are still locked down here in Michigan, but we're still doing our show.
Yes, and we are.
How you doing, Bob? Did you have a good week, man? I haven't seen you in a while.
I had a great week. You always think, oh, I wish I would have accomplished this or I would have accomplished that. But all in all, a great week. Everybody's good. Healthy. Everybody's happy.
That's good.
Great
man.
Week. How about you,
Me
buddy?
Me too, man. I actually did a couple of shows last week. It was like a normal week.
And you killed it.
I mean, I had
as I heard.
Great shows. It was nice. I had an outdoor show in St. Clair on Palmer Park. That was really, really fun. That Connie Ettinger books.
And then yeah, our Saturday, pal Connie.
I did a show at the Old Gray Yacht Club in Michigan, and that was indoor, actually. So I had one outdoor, one indoor, but 50 people spread out. I don't know. Yeah. In Old Gray, it's like COVID hasn't even hit there yet.
I didn't even know they had 50 people in Old Gray. Yeah, they had to get, they had to bus people in from Grayling to get people, get 50 people.
It was funny because I left the yacht club, and I drove out of there at 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
And I go, I'll just get some gas on my way home because I was a little bit low on gas before I got to the gig.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you know how you do that. Oh, I'll do my set and then I'll get
on the road. Then I'll
There's
get on
nothing
the road.
Open in Old Gray. Right. I literally had to drive like on fumes to get to, I don't know what the other town is. But anyway, once I got to like 23,
yeah,
I found a gas station. Thank
well,
God.
Let me ask the critical question. Were you able to get a Whopper Jr. on the ride home?
Well, it's funny you say that. I'm not doing that anymore. But
no Whopper Jr.'s cut in half.
We had this experience. I swear to God, it's funny you just brought this up because we didn't even plan on talking about this. I went into a gas station. You're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. I went over to their little cooler section because I was going to get a sandwich because I was kind of hungry. I'm trying to eat right.
Yes.
So I'm over by the sandwiches that are pre-made,
Yeah.
I swear, the lady behind the counter goes, hey, those are old. I'll make you one in the back. Just like we had
nice. At
that one stop.
Yes.
I don't know where we were, but me and you.
Well, no, that was actually you and Derek.
Oh, that was
you
me
and Derek,
Derek
Richards
that,
had that.
That,
yes.
had, you, that made a sandwich. And I had it happen again.
Really?
This lady
she made
goes,
you a
I'll go
new
in the
one.
Back and give you a fresh one. And says, I got like a turkey and cheese sandwich.
Good for you, man.
A little healthier.
You
than
got
a
like the friendly face or something. People are
know.
Like, it's either really friendly face or you're a 6'3" dago at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're threatening.
And
I don't know which one.
I don't know what it is, but up north places all have like a ton of beef jerky. Like they got like two aisles of beef jerky.
Oh, yeah, man. Beef jerky and shitty cheese, isn't
yeah.
it? That's up north, really.
But the lady was making me the sandwich, so I said, oh, well, I'll go over to the beef jerky aisle and kind of take a look. They literally had a whole aisle.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all of them. Finally, the lady behind the counter, this other girl that was working, not the girl that was making my sandwiches, and she goes, Is there a particular flavor you're looking for?
Particular flavor
no.
of what?
I'm just
beef
bored.
Jerky?
I'm just looking. Yeah, because I was looking at all of them like I was looking at shoes or something, you know?
Well, you kind of were. It's leather, you know? What you're eating. What
so
did
anyway,
you get? Did you get the lightly peppered
garlic?
Oh, garlic.
Garlic.
All right.
Yeah. No, they weren't beef jerky, though. It was the little... They're like little pepperoni rolls or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like skinny.
Yeah.
It's like beef jerky, but it's
right.
more of a, like a
sausage. A Slim Jim
yeah, like
kind
a Slim
of thing.
Jim.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got a bag of those garlic.
Oh,
so,
thank God for Slim Jim, by the way. If it wasn't for Slim Jim comics, we'd never get any protein on the road.
Yeah.
Because it's just booze during the show and then we leave. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We got to get something with
that. It's funny you just brought that up. Here it is. I finally do a couple of gigs, and I'm back to eating like shit again when I do gigs. It's like if I don't do comedy, I'm healthy. As soon as I do comedy, I
there's something about this profession.
I
hear
anyway,
you, buddy.
That's another story.
But you're
anyway,
wearing a Sal and Bob hat, and I love that hat.
Sal and Bob hat from, oh, my God, our friend Mark DeBarrow.
Yeah.
Lasting Impressions.
Thank you, Mark.
Lasting Impressions.
Great company, by the way.
Does my shirts.
Yeah.
Great
and
job.
He does.
And he listens.
He listens
to the Sal and Bob Show every week.
And he's a good guy, and he's a budding comedian. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he does my shirts, and he does some other promotional stuff for my business and for this Airbnb that I got going. So.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Well, you had a class reunion.
I did.
During the pandemic.
I did.
Where was that at? A Starbucks, the lobby
of a McDonald's Playland or whatever it was.
It was 40 years, you said?
It was a 40-year reunion. Good Lord, I can't believe I'm saying that.
I know, man.
And, you know, I'm right behind you, man. I'm going to say this about the high school I graduated from. We only had like 220 seniors.
Okay.
It's a small town. It's still a small town. It's not as small as it was.
Just a small town.
But I loved all these people I went to school with. They were great people, and we've kept in touch over the years. I still have lasting friendships from the time I was, in junior high school here. So I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
But I elected not to go to this because I take care of my grandson. I don't know. Let me reverse that. I don't take care of them. Their parents take care of them. But I see them once or twice a week. And I don't want to expose myself to people that are coming in and out of town for the COVID, all that.
Yep.
So they had the 40th reunion in my hometown last night. And the joke I made was that you're at a 40th reunion when they have an in memoriam section at the reunion. It's like the Oscars, all the people that died. And
hate to make you feel bad, but at 40 years, you're going to have a few people.
You're
going to
have a few.
In fact, at
their 40th reunion, there are more people in the in memoriam segment than there are at dinner.
That's true. And the more years we go along here, hopefully me and you are not in them. But
it was fun.
Well, it's got to be tough to have a reunion during a pandemic.
Yeah, the attendance was way down. We had, like I said, there was 220 graduates or something back in 1980. And we had 85 people that were going to come, reservations. But COVID hit. So we wound up with 25 people. Now, I didn't go because, like I said, I was more concerned with, hanging out with my grandson.
Now, you
next
did
week.
Comedy at one of your reunions.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did. That was my 30th reunion.
I don't
Thanks
know how
for
you
reminding
did that. How
me
did
of
you
that.
Do that? I would. Buddy, I know my class would ask me to do it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
You know why I did it? Because it was still at a point where a lot of people were showing up. We had, probably 3/4 of the class showing up. And I had just come out
it
with
was
a
maybe
new,
the 20-year anniversary or 20-year.
It was actually
25.
The 30th. It was
okay,
the 30th.
30. I was just
and
say
it
10
was
years
very
ago.
Highly attended. I mean, there was there was like 150.
Well, it seems like
there.
The earlier the 5-year is huge.
Oh yeah, because you're still in high school at 23, right?
Pretty much. And then it's so true. It goes, if you graduated 230, there was 220 at your 5-year.
Right. There was
and then it just starts
right,
to go.
And it gets thinner and thinner every year.
Yeah, it's like a second show Friday by the time you get to 25.
That's exactly it. Second show Friday. You're like, I recognize some of you. Okay, we don't know how this is going to go. By the way, Steve Martin, when somebody asked him, why did you quit stand-up? He said, second show Friday.
Yeah.
Which I've never gotten. And I know we talked about this once before. Second show Friday has always been good to me. You know what it is? It's second show Saturday that I struggle with. I don't get that.
Because second show Fridays, they've worked all day.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that they were going to be tired. And then they got tickets to a comedy show.
What's
at
your 10:30. Experience? I mean, is it?
Second show Friday has always been horrible for me. Like,
I don't know why that is. Well, I've had some rough shows, but. If I take it on average, 16 years of this and 2,000 some shows, whatever, I'm going to say second show Friday has been better to me than second show Saturday.
You got to look at your environment. If you have a bad second show Saturday, okay, I bet you you're not in a major city in a major club. I think you're probably if you have a bad second show.
All right, that makes
you're
sense.
You're near water where people were on their boat all day getting drunk, and then second show Saturday they're a little bit tired.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, the golfing community, maybe they golf 36 holes
right.
and then they went to the show, right? But if you're doing Mark Ridley's on a Saturday night in February.
Right. You're going to have a better time there than you are at some one-nighter. Yeah. Well, whatever. I think that, everybody has different experiences. But
you,
reunion,
you did a show there. How much time did you have to do?
Oh, man. I didn't have to do anything, but I was such a,
Were
stage
eating
whore.
And then telling jokes?
Oh, I mean, it was just ridiculous. I don't know. I'm gonna say this. I remember many faces from that night. My friend Andy Prescott, my friend Angela Carson and Mary Dooley, who have come out to shows. I remember Kelly Ossenmacher. I don't remember her married name now.
I like the name.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A hockey name.
Yeah.
If she had a son or a husband.
Yeah, doing a 5-minute major. It's Kelly Ossenmacher. Now, she's been married for a long time, but I took her to junior prom. I was very lucky.
Junior prom? What the hell is that? I didn't know.
We had a junior prom. I know. That's the story of my life.
Senior prom?
I didn't
go to
senior
lucky. Prom either.
You didn't?
I did. I never went to prom. I went to Sadie Hawkins.
She was the prom queen. Well, yeah. Well, Sadie Hawkins, you got invited, right?
Sadie Hawkins.
I got to tell you a story about Sadie Hawkins, okay?
Who is Sadie Hawkins? Did he play for the Orioles in 87?
He might have. Yeah.
Sadie Hawkins with a quick drive.
Right field. Sadie Hawkins. No, Sadie Hawkins is a Midwest thing where the girls ask the guys out for a dance. And I think it was like October or something.
Yeah.
This is a Midwest thing. So I had a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention any names here. But his name was Mark Nasrati. And we're still friends. He had a girl that he wanted to ask to this Sadie Hawkins. No, he wanted her to ask him to the Sadie Hawkins dance. So
he was giving hints?
Yeah. So he says, hey, let's go. Her name was Maureen.
Let's go to her house in her bedroom.
No, he said, let's go to Maureen's house because, you know, it was after school. And, you know, I think she likes me. She's going to ask me. I said, okay. So we go to her house and there's two of us and there's two or three of she and her friends. And we're sitting around her living room and her parents are hovering like they did back in the 70s. And all of a sudden, she says, hey, do you guys have dates to the Sadie Hawkins?
She says that.
Okay. And Mark goes, well, no, I don't. And she turns to me and goes, hey, geez. Bob, do you want to go? And I'm like, no, this is not the way this is supposed to happen.
Boy.
I'm the wingman. This is not, I can't do this. So I think I stuttered and stammered and kind of, you know,
that would suck.
It was pretty bad. But Mark didn't need my help. He had all kinds of dates.
After that. Already. Yeah. So. I didn't go. I went to Sadie Hawkins, but I didn't go to my prom. Me and a buddy of mine, actually on prom night, we went down to Riverside Drive on Canada's side, got a case of beer.
Yeah.
And just sat on, seriously, I swear to God.
Just two dudes
on prom night.
Looking at the river.
Looking across the river because our Sadie Hawkins dance was at, I don't know what it was called back then, but it's the Renaissance Center now. Was it the Renaissance
Center? It was the Renaissance.
Okay.
Now it's GM headquarters.
GM building.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I got it backwards. And we just stared at that building. Drinking beer across the... I don't know why we went to Canada, though. Why would we go over to Canada?
Well, because there was a part of you that wanted to get away from that because...
Oh, wait a minute. We can drink over there. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, it was 19. Yeah, you could drink 19, at 19.
So that's what it was. I don't know. There was something
about
it.
My God, the booze I consumed in Windsor.
But that's what I did, and I hope there's no high school people listening right now.
Well, you know what? We're gonna build this as the high school episode because now I actually did that reunion. I think I wound up doing 25 minutes.
I can't believe it.
I probably should have done five. Man. You know what? It was so stupid. It was 2 years after my first CD came out. People were gracious. I mean, we had fun. There was no doubt. We had fun. But
just roast people if you wanted to.
I could have, and I didn't do that. But back then, I was a very dirty comic. A lot of my 80% of my stuff was R to X rated. And so people were like, oh, my God. They didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
And then afterward, they're like, that's a great job. Other people walked away. So let me tell you, folks. You get asked to do a reunion. If you're a comic, just say no.
Yeah.
Just be like
Nancy
Reagan.
Reunions and weddings, I'm not doing.
No.
Just not doing it.
Never works out.
I would do a drive-in movie theater. That's what comics are doing.
Would you?
Well, that's what comics are doing now.
I see that.
They stand in front of the screen, and everybody is in their
cars.
And
they honk. The people honk if
they
like the joke.
They laugh. Jesus.
You know what? I say I wouldn't do that, But I think if I was asked, I'd do it because we're stage whores. That's what we do.
Well, I haven't done a Zoom show yet.
I have.
And then I said I wouldn't do an outdoor show, but I've done outdoor shows, and outdoor shows aren't bad at all. They're better than I expected.
Listen,
I've done some outdoor shows.
Yeah, outdoor shows. We both have done outdoor shows before COVID. And if their crowd was right.
Not many, but you
did. Not many, a lot. You know, maybe, I mean, over 16, 17 years, I might have done, you know, 15, 20. But I'll take an outdoor show, socially distanced, with a, you know, a regular sort of, country clubs are doing that now, right? Or a neighborhood, whatever, gatherings. But a drive-in, I don't know, man.
Yeah, drive-in seems it's just, again, it's like a Zoom show to me, really.
You're so far away. You might as well be on the net.
I mean, it's like doing comedy in a Walmart parking lot, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Except, you know, the cars aren't listening to you there. They're all inside. But
I mean, I'll say this. I have thought that it would be really cool to hear 200 cars honking at your, you know, at your joke, whatever it was, your three-minute new bit. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But if they're not, oh, my God, that's a long 45 minutes, baby.
Yeah. And how about if you just hear the one honk because you made one guy laugh,
what,
you know?
What? Or it's a honk, but it's a heckle. That's a heckle at that point, you know? It's like,
wait a minute, was it, did one guy like me or you know?
No, they won't. They don't even like you. It's like total silence, and then way in the back, 300 yards away. that's a heckle at that point.
That's the same sound as crickets for
indoor. It's worse.
Indoor. Oh. Anyway, well, the reason I brought up drive-in movies is your grandson was here before we did our show.
Yes, my lovely grandson.
He's a great kid, good-looking kid.
Yeah, we're going to the
drive-in movie theater. Yep. So I just thought I'd bring it up. Like, it's
great,
a big deal
great call.
Right now.
Yes,
drive-in movie theaters are big because you can't go to a regular movie theater, so there you can go see movies there. I just saw my niece posted on Facebook. Somebody put a movie screen in one of the yards in the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
And then it just ran through. I mean, there was a couple driveways in the middle or, you know, along the way. But you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody put a projector on their one lawn.
Yeah, so they got a community movie going on.
The next seven houses got to sit and watch that movie.
I thought that was really cool.
That's a great neighborhood thing.
You know what? And that's the thing that I don't think people realize. People want to be together, Sal.
Yeah.
People, right. You and I, we want to have the show in the club with people right on top of us and do, you know, and then shaking hands after the show. People are longing to be together. That's why I say, you know, people who are predicting the end of movie theaters, they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Movie theaters are going to go crazy when this thing is lifted. Comedy clubs are going to go crazy. People want to hang out, and the community, just a communal experience. Don't you think?
I totally agree. I've been watching a lot of news, just like everybody else lately, and I forgot who said it, but it was the greatest thing I heard all for the last 6 months. What came after the 1918 pandemic?
I don't know.
The Roaring Twenties.
Oh, that's right.
It was the greatest thing I ever heard.
That is right.
The Roaring Twenties.
Yes.
How much partying was going on?
Yes,
because
the flappers
they got the
and the crazy
so
parties.
We're gonna have the Roaring Twenties, dude. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
I'm with you. That is a great observation.
It's
love that.
When he said it, I went, "Oh my God, he's right." The Roaring Twenties. The stock market went crazy.
Yeah,
jobs
went nuts.
Went crazy. People were in a good mood.
Yeah. Yes.
Dancing. You see those videos of
people
dancing and so. We're going to have the Roaring Twenties again.
I completely agree with you. People want the communal experience. You can't see. Look, it's like I've heard a lot about these movies that are being released, you know, streaming, right? This the new Tom Hanks movie, right? What this is? He's
a
sub commander. World War II sub commander.
I saw a movie commercial the other day, though. They're touting it for the theaters.
Yeah, Tenet is being released in theaters. Okay. Now, the Mulan, Disney gave up on that and said, no, we're going to stream that. I'm kind of surprised at that.
Wow.
But you know what? I'm such a movie buff. I love movies. So, and by the way, our friend Corey Hall, we miss him this time, you know, because it would be great to sit in a theater with him. And
oh, man, are you kidding me?
Talk about a show.
We didn't do enough of those before
he
left us. And it's, I looked forward to that. It was going to be a big part of our show for the
But how great would it be? Remember the last movie we saw? The last movie you and I saw was Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
And it was a Sunday morning,
I love that
9 a.m. show with a bunch of other reprobate gamblers. There was nobody in that theater. There was like 20 people. They're all guys, all gamblers who knew.
And that wasn't in the pandemic.
No,
that was just a Saturday morning or something.
And that was like January or something.
Yeah.
Remember how awesome that was? To know that the people that are laughing at the same jokes you are like, yeah, he gets it. I get it.
Yep.
We've been through this experience.
You want to go to a movie theater.
You want
to
go to a movie theater.
You're looking at a huge screen, and it's just, there's nothing. And you're right. It's going to come back. That's going to come back. Comedy's going to come back like gangbusters. I really, truly believe that.
If you
it might not be in 2021. I mean, it might not be in 2021. If we don't have a vaccine soon
I'm predicting spring of 2021.
Yeah, spring of 2021.
April, May.
Yeah.
Certainly summer.
Yep. I agree. And then the tail end of 2021 and then 2022, look out. That could be a big year.
I completely get it.
You know, I'm going to make at least $5,000 that year. I mean, I'm going to really, really.
Yeah. $5,000. Whoa.
Yeah, I'm going to get a lot of gigs.
The bar is high. There's my Marty Morningweg comment. The bar is high.
The bar is high.
Hey, listen, my friend, our friend, Rong Rong in Wuhan.
Oh, yeah.
She and I Skype every now and again, and she has sort of shepherded me through this whole pandemic thing. Wuhan is rocking, baby. It's a city of 11 million people. They got this thing licked months ago.
So it's they're probably in
they're crushing
Jubilee.
Oh yeah, they're having major gatherings, concerts, movies. Everything's on in Wuhan.
That's
so
awesome.
If
so
we could,
that's what's going to happen with us.
If we just got to get our shit together and see this thing through.
Just get through this election, and hopefully we don't all die in a civil war. We were talking about that while we were just getting ready. I mean, look, we don't talk a lot of politics on here. We don't, but it's in the news right now. It's crazy. But we just hope that we were just talking. I mean, just want to get this election over with, and then whoever wins, we just move on and get to that roaring 20s that we're talking
get
about.
Get to the roaring 20s. Yeah, we have now. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I am not a Trump fan. And it marked the first time in my Republican life that I didn't
vote
Republican. But it's not like Joe Biden is John Kennedy. Okay, I mean, I don't know, the guy, his teeth fell out in a debate last year. I mean, his teeth literally fell out when he was answering a question. And I think I like him more than I do Trump, but he's a career politician.
Yep.
This is nobody's savior. He's just less detestable.
That's a great way to put it.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I totally get it. I'm on the Trump side right now, just because I don't like the really rough protesting that's going on.
I don't like it either, buddy.
And I'm not saying it's totally democratic. But I'm glad Joe Biden finally acknowledged the riots and the people getting shot and
Well, what do you mean? That acknowledging that he's
like he denounces that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay,
he
that's
never
good
did.
To hear,
I mean, the whole Democratic convention they didn't bring it up at all.
No, they couldn't.
I understand they don't want to bring it up because it's not necessarily anything that they condone.
Yeah.
But they don't want to talk about it because those people are Democrats and they might get their votes.
Situation's so a little too touchy.
It's touchy. It's just a bad strike. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Like, I am so non-political before all this crap the last couple of years. I'll be honest with you. Like 10 years ago, I could give a shit who was president.
Yeah.
I really could because I was just 40,000 to 70,000 a year income guy, and whoever was in office wasn't going to affect me really that much.
Well, you know what? They didn't.
It just didn't. It just didn't. Now it is. Now it's like I'm an independent contractor comedian. I need businesses to be open because I need comedy clubs to be full and I need corporations to hire us as comedians.
Yes, we do. We need corporations. So we need the economy XM Sirius to play us and give us the royalties and keep going with that. Correct. You know what? That's a good point you made. You know,
that's where I'm at. When, I don't have a family, so I don't care about like school situations or taxes. Although I have nephews, obviously your grandson, uh-huh. you want your grandson to go to a safe school.
I do.
You know, but I don't have any kids personally, mm-hmm. me. So
yeah,
know,
but my, you're a nice guy. You're a caring guy. You care about your nephews. You care about people in general.
Correct. But I just have different value. Like I have different things that I just want the economy to be good because that's my profession. I want to be
And it's mine now too, because I'm out of the business world and this is where I find myself. So I completely agree with that. You made a really good point. I think you said something like 10 years ago, you didn't care who the president was. Now, that was a different era, right? Economically and in terms of hot button issues, you didn't even hear the president's name every day. It could be a week before you heard Bush or Obama.
Of course not.
Because things were on an even. You hear Trump 20 times a day because he can't shut the fuck up.
And that's the part I hate about him. I'll be honest with you.
Just stop.
I can't.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Stop tweeting. Stop talking.
You know, you don't need. Here's what I don't understand, and I just don't get it. Like when he said that John McCain wasn't a war hero.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's
like
nonsense.
I know he's playing to his base, and I know some of his base.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter to them that he called John McCain a non-war hero? I don't think it did. I think his base would still vote for him if he said John McCain was a war hero.
I think if he turned around and said he was, he would get more support.
But you think so?
Oh yeah.
If
Trump said tomorrow, hey, you know what? I really reevaluated my thoughts on McCain. I think he was a war hero,
okay,
and I apologize. He'd get more support because it's a human moment for him, and he hasn't had one human moment in 4 years.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he would say that. I know Trump voters that would not say, "Oh, I'm not voting for him now. He just said John McCain's a war hero."
But
you know what I mean?
I don't get that at all.
I don't get that. I don't understand why he would say.
You know, you can disagree on who's a hero, who's not, whatever. And I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole.
It's just so. And this is coming from a guy who got out of the army for bone spurs.
Bone
spurs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That'd be like us arguing over a kid that said Michael Jordan sucks at basketball.
Yeah.
And the guy never played. You know, like his quote made it all over the world. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you know what? We talked about it during when we were doing the. They run up to the show, doing the show notes. We weren't going to let this be a political show one way or another. And you are not predisposed, but you're leaning toward Trump. And I obviously am leaning toward
Biden.
But
I'm not a happy Trump supporter.
No, and I'm not a happy Biden supporter. I'm just going, okay, he's, you know. Trump to me is a gigantic asshole.
Yep.
And Biden, I mean, he's a career politician. I mean, the thing that, but you know, it's not like Biden doesn't have his faults. The guy gets up there. That whole corn pop speech is the most ridiculous thing I've ever.
You told me that. I Googled it and I just spit up my coffee listening to it. Corn pop. Are you kidding? There was no corn pop, Joe.
No. There was never a corn pop.
If there was a corn pop, I want to talk to his mother.
And you know what? After that, that thing is like a year and a half old. And if there was ever a corn pop, if there was ever anybody who knew a corn pop, they would have surfaced by now. So it's a completely made up story. It's a complete Joe Biden moment, you know, when he's lucid and, you know, he's just making shit up. And I know he does that. And I also know he just kind of checks out, you know. He's just, you know, I mean, he's 147 years old. So when he's in the middle of a sentence, he just kind of, you see his eyes start blinking like, okay, man, the projector, you know, the bulb went out in the projector. We're going to have to wait for the
answer.
And
you know what? He's done some press conferences, you know, this last week that I heard in the radio because I drive a lot and I listen to the news and just listen to all this stuff. And he sounded pretty good. I mean, he sounded good last week, you know, but. You know, then Fox News is saying he's getting softball questions. They use that term softball, which I hate that term softball. Just use curveball. I like to use baseball analogies. Don't say softball because softball is already a slot down from baseball.
Right. How about what would you say? T-ball questions. Yeah, okay. It's right there. Yeah, just hit it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Hey, give me a word. We're going to Google a steakhouse today.
We were going to talk about drive-in movie theaters, though, right?
We talked about that a little earlier. Well, we did a little bit, but maybe we didn't finish it. Anything else? Oh, well. I went to a lot of drive-in theaters when I was a kid. Well, yeah, I went to so a lot. I didn't go to a lot. I went to about 10, and it just seemed like every time we had, like, if sometimes it was me or sometimes it was my friends. But we always threw 2-3 guys in the trunk, and they never checked the trunk. And it was always amazing.
The Sopranos?
I'd pull up, you know. I mean, I had so many guys in the trunk, I was like Joe Pesci driving the car in there, you know. And they never, for some reason, said pop the trunk. They never did.
Well, remember we talked about my theory about that.
We had a guy up on that shelf by the window in the back one time, and they didn't see that guy.
I didn't see that guy. What, he had his hands over his eyes?
Yeah, no, we threw chip bags on top of him or something, you know? And he goes, what's that in the bag? Oh, it's just our chips for the movie.
That's Dave.
It was Dave, you know?
Well, you remember when we did the pre-show notes, my theory was that, and I think this is true, you drove into a drive-in theater, if all four seats were occupied...
Yeah.
They're like, okay, I don't know what it was, $2.50 a piece. So they got their $10 and they waved you through. They didn't even care if there was someone in the trunk because they got all they were going to get, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
If there was one or two guys in the car, they're like, all right, pop your trunk. And they knew there was guys there, right?
Yeah.
And they opened it up and it looked like that scene in Goodfellas where the guy was in the freezer.
Or I don't know about your experience, but the drive-in theaters that I went to, at least the ones I can remember, they were huge.
Yeah. Right?
They're huge.
Ford, Wyoming,
Dearborn, okay? And then we would park, and I don't know about you, but I'd be like, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the movie, let's say, I would go, well, shit, I want some popcorn now. You know what I mean? I want some popcorn and some Jujubes and a Diet Coke or something.
Yeah.
So I would walk back to the concession. But the concession was like 100 cars away.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? It
was
at the beginning.
It was when you entered. So you had to walk. And if you got a bad parking spot or a bad angle to the movie, you had to walk all the way. So I would walk all the way.
You're hoping your date didn't leave you.
Then you're getting popcorn and you're bringing it back. I got in the car one day. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Well, three guys have died since you left. You know, what happened to Jimmy? You know,
what happened to Jimmy?
Like, I'm talking in the movie. Like,
I know.
Like, I missed the whole movie. Like,
wait, was Jimmy in the trunk? And Mike and Dave open the trunk. Oh, no.
Or just the movie itself. Like, you know, if I went to go get popcorn, by the time I got back, you know, Scarface was shooting up, everybody at his mansion.
Say hello to my little friend.
I missed like an hour of the movie going to get popcorn.
Oh, I know. That was a long walk, and sometimes those
if you're seeing a movie at Laurel Park, which is a movie theater near both of us, you know, for those listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, it's a mall movie theater.
Yeah, great theater.
2 miles from my house.
Yeah,
I have literally looked in the paper or on my phone and went, oh, you know, Uncut Gems is starting at 11:45. Oh, what time is it? It's 11:40. Oh, I can go.
Yeah.
Because right. I know there's 15 minutes of the previews.
Yeah.
I can stop and get my popcorn and my Coke or whatever. Yeah. I could be in the movie literally 10 minutes from the couch.
And still see some previews.
And see some, you know, so that's, I'd rather do that than a drive-in any day of the week.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, remember the drive-in, though, when you had your girl with you?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
It took me, three times, you know, Friday the 13th to actually see the movie, right?
Yeah, because you're making out.
Oh, yeah. It was wondrous. Sure.
Yeah. I remember one time I was kissing a girl and I forgot to put oil in my car. So I had like 3 quarts of oil. I said, oh, my God, I got to put this oil in the car before we leave here tonight. So I had to lift my hood and... It was blocking the screen for about 2 cars behind
me. So Sal's romantic evening is interrupted by a lack of lubricant for the car. Okay.
lack of lubricant.
For the car.
For the car, not for me. Okay. Not for her. Not for her, big
not
fella.
Not for her.
Oh, my God. All right. So, what are we talking about here? What are we doing? Give me a word.
Yeah.
We're going to Google a steakhouse. This is a new game we play.
It's a new game we started. Tell the listeners about the game. Well, because we're a steakhouse podcast.
We don't go to steakhouses anymore. So last week, instead of me looking up like a really cool steakhouse and kind of getting a hold of the steakhouse and letting them know they're going to be on the Sal and Bob show, we just decided to just play a silly game and like Google words or Google like a steakhouse name that we would like. And we just Google it. And for some reason, we always seem to find some sort of steakhouse that that is associated with that word. Like, what's your grandson's name? I forgot his name.
Well, I have three grandsons.
Okay,
Vincent,
the one that I met.
That's Vincent
okay,
tonight.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Vincent,
and Asa and Leo.
Vincent's. This is live here on the Sal and Bob show.
Vincent's Steakhouse.
We are looking for a Vincent's Steakhouse. This has never been done. This is David Blaine shit, man. I mean, nobody's ever done this.
No special effects.
I don't know why, but Fiamma Grill comes up. That's the closest thing to Vincent's.
Fiamma?
Yeah. I don't know why, but we're going with it because we got it. This is how we
Fiamma,
do it.
Is that in Plymouth?
Let's see. Hang on. This is worldwide because we just do it on the internet, and whatever comes up. Fiamma Grill is in Plymouth, Michigan.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Fiamma, and that's
wow.
also
now that came up when I Googled Vincent's Steakhouse.
Okay, Vince. Okay,
so there
I
we go. 380 South Main Street. They're open from 5 to 11 on Fridays and Saturdays, 5 to 10 on Wednesday and Thursday, 5 to 9. We know somebody in Plymouth that has a restaurant, Campari's, who used to own Joey's
Fiamma,
Comedy Club.
I think the people who own Campari's also own Fiamma.
Oh, you're right. The Sardine Room.
The Sardine Room.
There you
yes.
go. Okay, so, well, there you go.
No, I got another one for you, though.
Okay.
I Googled it. I Googled Vincent's Steakhouse.
Okay.
And I can, you're going to love this. Vincent Lanzerato.
All right. Why did I get
his
that?
Legacy was one of fine dining. In this family, it says in this family photo, Vincent Lanzerato is seen in front of his iconic West Springfield restaurant, Vincent's Steakhouse. It says, welcome, traveler.
Okay.
Hearty catering and drink. Good for him. All right. So that's not around anymore, but there you go. It's a
hey. Fiamma Grill. Check it out in Plymouth. And then that one's not closed. That one's closed.
You know what? It says Vincent Lanzerato's legacy was one of fine dining. So
let's see.
No, it's still around. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, can I throw one at you here, Sal?
Yeah, yeah.
Since we're both football fans. The Vince Young Steakhouse. In Austin, Texas.
Oh, my God. Well, he had a huge national championship game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a terrible pro career.
No, terrible pro career, but after he won the national championship, he could have opened up 10 steakhouses in Texas.
Yes, he was the man. Do you remember? Now, I used to do a joke. This is what – now, he graduated college, what, 13, 14 years ago, something like that. And you remember they had this test. It was called the Wunderlich test. It was a test of basic intelligence, and they gave all college football players, you know, graduating college football players, this Wunderlich test. And I think a perfect score was like 50. I got to remember the scale.
Yeah.
But Vince Young scored like a 7.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay. And I think I know you get 5 for writing your name.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was, but I think I did some reading on that, and they said, you know, mollusks actually have scored like a 20 on that. So anyway, but he's got a restaurant. Welcome to Vince Young Steakhouse in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
It's closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right.
Well,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
No, just for the hell of it, I threw it because like we do, we just throw in names, and I forgot that he had – steaks. I just wanted to see if there was a somehow associated with the name Trump Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And I forgot that he has Trump steaks. Did you know that?
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Or he did have Trump steaks. He had a Trump winery. Trump
Oh, yeah. It's a discontinued brand of steak and other meats that was owned by Donald Trump. The brand was launched in 2007 and was exclusively sold through the Sharper Image and QVC. Trump steaks failed to sell well through the Sharper Image, which discontinued sales of the product line after 2 months. So if anybody wants, Biden should be all over this.
He should be.
The guy can't even have a steak company.
How do you fuck up steak? Everybody loves steak. 2 months.
Oh, my God. So that's funny. Well, that's good. Well, hey, there's another episode of the Steak Google segment here on the Sal and Bob Show.
Google a steakhouse. We've had a little wine. So
yeah, it's great.
So this has been a fun episode. By the way, I want to say we are so social, really, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're so
social.
We're all over the place. We do shows from all over. And we are a proud, the Sal and Bob Show is a proud member of the Perfecta
awesome
Podcast Network.
There, man. So great. If you get a chance, listen to
Ross Duncliffe and Matt Holt. Great guys.
Just some of our sister podcasts that are on the network. Yeah. I know Stuart Huff has a great podcast. Bill Duncliffe, Ross's brother, has one.
That was a fun one to do.
Yeah, it's a really good one. Which, by the way, did you watch the Kentucky Derby yesterday?
I didn't.
Yeah, I listened to it, and I listened to it on the radio.
It just seemed weird. It was so out of place doing it. It's May. It should be done, not September.
It's weird, but boy, Tiz the Law was just, I thought he was going to maybe go for the Triple Crown because he won the first leg, and I forgot the name of the horse that beat him, but he got beat by a nose. So anyway, the Kentucky Derby was yesterday. Speaking of sports, I wanted, before we leave, because you know this has been a pretty long show, but I want to talk about just real quick the bubble sports that are going on.
Can I do my Kentucky Derby joke before we do it? Just because I don't see any good segue coming up. So they call the Kentucky Derby the fastest 2.5 minutes in sports.
Yes.
These are the same people. They've never seen me start and quit a 5K. Anyway, go ahead. So you're talking we talked about the bubble, which I think is fascinating.
So what's going on right now is you've got pro golf is going on. The hockey playoffs are going on. There's, I believe, 8 teams left there. The NBA bubble's going on. There's 8 teams left there. Milwaukee actually won today. We were kind of watching the game before the show.
Yeah.
They won. So it's 3-1, which is incredible because they were the favorite. They're down 3-1. You got the baseball is going, and football starts next week.
Yeah.
So you've got all this stuff. And when I say bubble, is the hockey are playing under one roof.
Right.
The basketball is playing under one roof, so to speak. Baseball is kind of doing their own thing, and they're going to each stadium. And I thought about, we were talking over lunch, that what if a comedy club had a bubble?
I love that.
And
what
you had to
idea.
Stay in like a Disney World setting with 50 comics.
And yeah, you never went anywhere. They just rotated the comics.
Yes.
Would
that
be
incredible?
Joyous. Yes,
a bunch of comics staying
like
on
every
the one
second
roof.
Day. You're headlining,
you're just going down the street to a club and working. You're not driving. You're not staying in hotels. You're not eating Subway at 8 o'clock. I mean, you're just
Whopper Juniors.
No Whopper Juniors on the way home. You're literally, it's like an NBA thing, except you're just going down the street to tell jokes.
That would be nirvana.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, you're just there, and you know that at 8 o'clock, Wednesday,
you're walking down.
Friday, and late show Saturday, you're on.
You know.
Oh, it would be joyous.
I guess the only person I could think of that kind of knows that life would be like a Wayne Newton, right? Because he lives like in his
guys,
arena or theater that he does. And
that's
he
right.
Literally, could be on his living room and he walks out the door and he's on stage. I'm not kidding you.
I know.
That guy's life.
Well, he had a ranch out there for a while.
Yeah,
but there were some. You're right. There were some guys that actually lived at the hotel.
I mean,
in
Celine
which they
Dion
were performing.
Did. You know she did.
I don't know.
She lived at Caesars. She didn't live anywhere. They probably gave her a penthouse at Caesars.
Well, that's the way to do it, right?
You know, she took the elevator down to do her set.
Can I tell you a story? Am I interrupting this segment?
That's all I want to talk. I just want to talk about if comedians at a bubble.
Give you the opportunity to talk about the other thing you wanted to say about the play being so much better in the bubble because they're not traveling.
I talked about that on A Drink with Derek.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your point, man.
What
I was saying was I talked about this on A Drink with Derek. I mean, sports is, I don't know if it necessarily happens with hockey because hockey is such a different sport because you're shooting at a net. Yeah, you're shooting at a net, but there's a goalie in front of it. Where if you're shooting at a basketball rim, you know, like I played at Livonia Bentley High School. And when I played at home, when I played at Bentley, I shot the lights out. I just know my court.
Yeah, you're comfortable with it.
And I shot better at home than I did on the road. Well, that's what I was saying with the bubble is these NBA players, they're the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And you're giving them a rim and you're saying, okay, you're going to shoot on that rim right there every day for the next 3 months.
Yes.
They're going to shoot better.
Yeah.
They just know the angles. They know the feeling of it, the ambiance, because I've played on basketball courts, different basketball courts. I know the rim's 10 feet, but what's behind the rim is always different.
Yes, there's a lot of variables.
There's a lot of variables. There might be pennants hanging up of the school championship or whatever. So you're shooting against that. Your eyes are
seeing. Scoring is up.
Play is up.
Yeah.
Shooting percentages are up. Shooting percentages are up, although they're coming a little down now for the playoffs.
Yeah.
But that's because defenses are getting better. Anyway, I just brought that up, but you know, it's something to watch if you're a betting man. I mean, like football is about to start.
Yeah.
You know, let's just give an example. The Lions are out at Arizona. I think they play Arizona week one. There's going to be no fans for Arizona.
Yeah.
So it's like a scrimmage. It's like there's no home field advantage. Mm-hmm. So that's all I want to say. There's no home field advantage for that stuff. But and it's great. I mean, you got all four major sports going at the same time. It's never been done.
Crazy, isn't it? Four major sports.
So before the election, you're going to have the NBA finals will be over. You'll have the hockey finals will be over. The World Series will be over.
Wow, that's right.
All them sports are going to be going on right before, I'm telling you, the end of October, and then throw Halloween in there. I don't know how the hell we're going to do Halloween. I still don't even know.
I don't know how that's going to work.
And then 3 days after Halloween, we are voting for the most important election in our. And then after that, you got Thanksgiving coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting fall here.
It sure is. That's a very good point. Jam-packed action.
It's fun. We're going to be with you every week here, the Sal and Bob Show. Make sure you check out Bob's Twitter feed, at Bob the Suit.
And Sally's at SallyDO8. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, at SallyDO8. Nate Armbruster, our producer.
At Sal and Bob Show.
At Sal and Bob Show.
Yeah, that's right. Nate is at Comedy Nate.
Comedy Nate.
Yeah, very funny young man.
And we're going to be with you every week along the way here. We're going to talk what's going on between Trump and Biden. And we're going to talk about other things. We're going to Google a steakhouse. We've got some shows coming up. I'm going down to the Comedy Cabana. You got some stuff coming up.
Yeah, got some stuff coming up. More Zoom shows, too.
You got a couple more Zoom shows?
God, I do, man. I'm just going to say this. And I hope the promoters aren't listening to this part. These are benefits.
Yeah.
And I've got a soft heart for both of these. These are veterans funds, and I do the shows for free because I love doing anything for veterans. But Zoom shows, my God, man, they're just the fucking worst.
I haven't done one yet. I'm sure I will eventually.
Ugh.
Especially, which
I'm always glad I got through them, and I'm always glad I've done them. But while they're going on, you're just like, what? Where am I? What planet am I on? None of this makes sense.
Well, we were just talking about it earlier. I mean, at least at a drive-in movie theater gig, I can hear a honk, and I know that joke went good.
Exactly.
What do you got, Zoom show?
Got nothing.
I mean, I guess you get laughs through the
You can hear some straggling laughter when you tell. Like a couple of times during these shows I've done, I'm like, okay, I really need to hear.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? So I'll tell the joke. And I'll just stay silent for like 15 seconds. And then I'll hear the straggling laughter.
All right.
And it's fun to hear that. And then you go into the joke.
Well, I got to give you kudos. I golfed with Roger Feeney, Billy Ray Bauer, and Mark Knopf last week. And Billy Ray Bauer said he did a he did a Zoom show with you, and he said it was great. He did very, very well. And
he and I did
well,
a fun show together.
He
Billy
gave you great
it.
Props, and he said he really didn't even know you personally because he's you guys had never worked together.
Yeah.
But he gave you an A rating.
Oh, that's good to know. Anyway. Yeah, Billy Ray had a great show too. So he had an A as well.
But yeah. So
what a fun time we've had.
So next week we'll come to you next Sunday. It'll be the Lions home opener. Lions opener. we'll probably just get done watching the game, and then we're going to do our show. So,
and you know what?
Maybe we'll watch it over here at October Park Studios, and then do the show. I think at 1 o'clock.
Well, it's Arizona. Could be a 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's true. It could be in Arizona. So
I don't know.
We'll come to you. Maybe we'll go to a steakhouse in Arizona.
That would be good.
There.
We could do a road trip.
We can get a $100 flight from Spirit.
Yeah,
to go there. Well, we did a show in Dallas. We did. That was Dallas.
Yeah, we did Dallas,
Arizona. Yeah, no, Tempe's going to be pretty. Tempe's going
to
be pretty.
Now we could get some flights. My son Ben did a round trip to Denver for $98.
Wow. Jeez.
I never get those kinds of
I got to get a flight to Myrtle Beach. I better look at that. But maybe we'll go to Arizona next week if not, we'll highlight a restaurant in Arizona. But it'll be interesting. Football starts next week.
FanDuel, come on, baby.
FanDuel and some more gigs. I don't have any gigs the week of September 11th, 12th, 13th. I am off. So
yeah, I'm off too. So it's all football for us, baby.
That's what comedians deal with these days. You're just not working every weekend I don't know who's working every weekend. I don't think there's any comedian in the country working.
Nobody's working every weekend.
I mean, I'm seeing
not even
like
the HBO.
We both are on Twitter and all that stuff, and you just scroll and see shit. Like I'm seeing like Dave Attell is doing outdoor shows.
Well, yeah.
In
Jim Gaffigan did a drive-in show.
Yeah, so they're in our boat.
Absolutely,
nobody's doing the Hudson Theater these days.
No.
Everybody's in the same boat. It kind of feel cool. I feel good. Well, I feel like I'm on the same level as Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
right now,
it feels good.
I
mean? You know, and that's a good point because there are some clubs open, and we've done clubs, and friends have done clubs, but there's no theaters open.
No theaters.
Big guys, the Gaffigans, the Gary Gulmans, the Seinfelds, they're not going to do clubs. They don't care if they're open or not. They need to do the 2,000-seat theater or nothing.
They're going to wait it out because the Roaring 20s are coming.
They're coming, baby.
Those guys are going to be filling up theaters like crazy. We're going to be filling up theaters. We're going to do a Sal and Bob show, and we're going to fill up a theater in the near future.
Yes, we are. Can I one more thing before we go? Just one more thing.
Yeah.
I want to say hello to my friend, Lisa Schneider.
Lisa Schneider, hello.
Lisa Schneider. She is an adorable and very funny woman and a very accomplished woman, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Lisa. Well, you made it on the Sal and Bob show. It must be special.
She'll be thrilled.
Hey, I'm Sal D'Amelio. Across from me is Bob Phillips. Please keep listening to us. Stay safe out there. Wear your masks.
Yes.
And wear them during sex. That's big now. Did you see that? I heard that article.
I did,
masks
too.
Masks are big. Oh, boy. Hey.
I was wearing masks before the pandemic.
Good night, everybody. I'm Sal D'Amelio, Bob Phillips. Thanks for listening
to
the Sal and Bob show. Good night, everyone.